Hi guys, we're here at Mr. Singh's. I have been so excited to be able to have this interview set up. It is a coup for me as far as I'm concerned, and I'm really happy that the family allowed me to come to their premises and interview them today. So I want to ask a question, and anyone can answer. I guess Papa Singh will be able to ask this. What came first, the shed or the sauce?
The sauce.
Right, the
No,
the shed was always there.
The shed is as famous as your sauce, I think, now. It's really getting up there. But do you recall the first day that you stepped out and said, you know what, I'm going to create this sauce? The very first day that this happened?
Yeah, I mean, that has been my, you know, the golden memory I've always had in my mind, because it was because of that moment we are where we are today. And I was just basically, you know, like myself, I got a big family. I got my brothers, and you know, younger days. At that time, it was we had
a sister.
The general trend was basically every weekend we would go out to each other's homes, you know, have a barbecue or a session or cook or something. And I think in a certain way, I think I was the one who always was like judged as the best cook or the best person who could cook the dishes in the family.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody sort of looked at me and for producing some you know, really exciting dishes or something really nice. And I remember there was a Saturday that we were having a family coming over for a barbecue. And before that, I had actually tried all the sauces in the market, you know, some are bitter, some are just too sweet, some are, you know, too tangy, or maybe not hot enough, and some just blew your head off, which was pointless, really. And I just thought, you know, I want to make a sauce. And that was it, really. And the next thing I remember is my wife, you know, sort of running around me, because she was always, she hated me in the kitchen because I made so much mess. And just sort of overturned everything what she had done, you know, pull out things from the cupboards because I'm looking for something different. And I just remember opening up the blender and checking in some tomato ingredient, got some bird's eye chilies and blended them and made this pretty sauce. So then you just dip my finger into it and thinking, no, I need a bit of that and a bit of that, and that was it. And then when it was ready, I said, wow, this is really amazing.
So which one is that one? Is that the original?
That's this one, the original chili sauce.
That's the original Punjabi chili sauce, yeah.
Hi guys, I'm holding the golden piece right now. So you talked about market research. How long was that process? Because you said you went to the market and you tasted, you had different...
No, because before this, I mean, we were always doing the barbecue. So I would bring one sauce from somewhere. Now I tried, it wasn't good. Then go talk to other Tesco's or Sainsbury's and pick up some other type of sauce. So I was always tried all of them.
Yeah. I mean, how many children involved in the business? And then I'm sure extended family are...
No, it was just my brothers. I've got my four brothers and one sister.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at that time, the kids were very small, very tiny kids. So these guys were only about, I think must be about 2 or 3 years old or something like that. I made this sauce, and then I was always into this, you know, outdoor cuisine, you know, where I, you know, did some outdoor catering or, you know, this in other type of situations. And
everybody, it's part time.
Yeah, it was part time.
You used to be a teacher.
Yeah, I was a teacher, so I was doing all this part time in the evenings, and so people started saying, look, you know, why don't you know bottle? Because they used to say, can you give me some? I said, yeah, take it. You know, I would fill up containers. I said, because I said, wow, they like my sauce, and I would just give it free of charge.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then basically, you know, then some people suggested to me, said, why don't you bottle it? You know, why don't you sell your product?
Mm-hmm.
And I had never thought about it. And I think it was after many years, I said, well, let me start doing this.
Okay.
And that's when I started, actually.
And when was that? What year, what time?
Oh, it was after many years.
My name's Kuldeep Singh Sahota, and I am CEO of Mr. Singh's. Basically, what happened was, I mean, like my dad said, for many years, like he'd made this sauce, and then for a good few years, probably about 2005, 2006, I think that's when he first bottled it, because this was the mid-80s when he created the sauce.
Yeah, 1985 when I saw that it
stored
again.
So probably like mid-2000s, early 2000s, like he bottled it for the first time and tried to go and sell it. But it wasn't until October, November 2008 we actually created Mr. Sings, so to speak. So
oh, right.
Like, I remember seeing my dad. He'd been out. It was raining. So he came in and he was soaking wet. He had one of these like really poor quality blue plastic bags holding the chili sauce bottles that he was trying to sell, like local to us around here. And without much luck. And I just asked him what he was trying to do. And he said, I'm trying to sell my chili sauce. Okay, fine. Because he does wacky stuff. So like, you kind of get used to it over the years. So, all right, Pops is at it again. We'll leave him to it. And like for some reason, a couple of weeks later, I saw an advert for the BBC Good Food Show in Kensington. And this is, it's a foodie event.
Yeah.
We didn't know it was a foodie event. We just thought, all right, it's a food show, BBC, big names, let's go for it. And I booked a stand on my credit card. It was like £1,000. Booked it on my credit card and came home and I said to everyone, guys, I've booked this on my credit card. We need to sell about 2,000 bottles so I can make my money back. And thankfully, my brother was newly married then as well, so a new sister-in-law in the house. So there was 7 of us together, and thankfully everyone said, yeah, we've got nothing else to do. Like, yeah, let's do it. And I think that was the show was in 9 days after I'd done this.
Right.
And for the following 9 days, to tell the truth, my dad didn't even know how to make the sauce properly. It was just, he'd make it. Whereas now we had to make 1,000 bottles of chili sauce.
Yeah.
Bottle them. My dad had done the labeling work previously. So thankfully the bottles and the labeling was already done. But we now had to make 1,000 of them. And, we were buying chilies from any cash and carry we could get our hands on, tomatoes, absolutely destroyed the kitchen, which my mum wasn't too happy about again. But I mean, we managed to make 1,000 of them. And then on the first day of the show, it was a Friday, I remember everyone else was at work and Suki and I were the so-called muscle. We had to carry these boxes, and they were 35 kilos each, 60 bottles of chili sauce in each box, like up the stairs to our stand. And we hadn't even put our display out, and people were coming to try the sauce and wanting to buy it. And then by the end of the show, we'd sold out of all of our stock. And that, I mean, for me at least, I'm quite sure you guys would agree, is that that was like the magic moment where you thought, God, we've got something here. Yeah. People are willing to pay us for this chili sauce.
Yeah.
All right, let's do this for a while. And so that was in November 2008. And really, we didn't do anything for another 3 or 4 months, and we booked another maybe 3 or 4 shows in 2009. Again, they were like food shows basically, and did the same thing again. We booked the show, made the chili sauce and sold it at the shows, and then toward the end of 2009 we were approached by the BBC and they asked us to be on a TV show, because at that time chili was really starting to become quite a big thing. And I think a lot of people were writing about us after seeing us at these shows, and this crazy family shouting about chili sauce and selling this one product that was crazy hot, but everyone really loved the taste of it. And so I think because people were writing about us online, they must have found us when Google searching, and then they approached us, and we appeared on this show in May 2010 now. And it went out to about 4.5 million people, and everyone saw Mr. Sings and us in our shed breaking chilies and making the sauce. It was actually, that was almost a false dawn for us, right? Like we thought we'd won the lottery because we got a listing at that time. I think it was like 3 Asda stores. So, we thought, oh God, this is the lottery win.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, I mean, he was only 18 at the time, and Suki, he was 18 at the time. I think he was out looking for cars the next day, thinking and that it was made.
Hi, my name is Suki Singh, and I basically deal with Tesco's and the logistics. Prior to that, I think what helped us a lot as well sell the sauce at these shows was, we all had full-time jobs at that time, and people would finish around about 5 to 6 o'clock. So we would come home, and literally, as soon as we got home, we would have to get the bottles into the shed, sterilize it. I think my dad may have started making the sauce already, bottled the sauce, then that would be passed on to my brother. He would bottle them, pass on to Cook's, his wife, Amadeep, who bottled them. Then that got passed on to my sister-in-law, who then put them in the boxes.
Yeah.
And I think because it was so much hard work in terms of how much time and labor we put in and effort, we used to go to bed at like 2 or 3 o'clock every morning. Do this literally for 9 days up until the show. and then sell. And I think that helped a lot with our selling, because we thought, you know, we didn't put all this hard work
for
time.
No reason.
Yeah, exactly. And plus, because that was pretty much our life for about, what, 1 to 2 years?
Yeah.
Like, once we had a timeline of a show, so we thought, you know, let's order the bottles in time so we can start the whole process again. And I think the more shows that we did, it helped us a lot in terms of selling the source, getting the story across in terms of who we are and what we do, because there was so much, literally so much hard work and energy. Like I said, we used to go to bed 3 o'clock in the morning maximum, I can remember. Wake up at 6, 7, go back to work full time, do the same thing for like 9 days straight.
You said something earlier on about your dad doing wacky ideas and things like that, and then you guys are now coming on board and you're seen very much involved in the whole process. Do you come from an entrepreneurial family or a business kind of family?
For me, I think as I remember right very from my childhood days, was basically, you know, at the age of 5 or 6, when you're just growing up and you're just beginning to understand what people are saying around you.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember very, you know, clearly even today that, you know, like my uncle would say, oh, wow, you know, that person, he has achieved that, he has done that. And that used to sort of sunk into me. I said, when I grow up, I want to be that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be, some people want to say, oh, wow, look what he's done. And when these kids were growing up, you know, especially, you know, they were little babies, and to wake them up in the morning to go to school, you know, and they looked so lovely lying in bed.
Aww.
And making, I said, what do these poor kids have to get up for? You know, they should be like sleeping in bed. You know, and I also felt that, you know, if I continued my route as a 9-to-5 teaching job, which I was doing, you know, and I could have carried on for many years and even moved up, I realized that, you know, my fifth generation would be falling into the same system unless something is set up. And that's what was the main, you know, my intention was to like with this source, let's do something with it, take it somewhere. And I think, you know, one of the other things which we haven't actually pointed out earlier on is that just from that idea of, you know, when people are saying to you, you know, your good product is a very good sign that just you definitely have got something. But I think the problem from what I faced was there was no person to advise me as to, you know, what goes on a label, what should be entered the back of the, you know, the guidelines, even the, and this is something which I, you know, we discovered with David Cameron as well. but, you know, that process, even like your business advice centers I went to get advice, even they couldn't tell me exactly what I needed to
right.
do. And that process must have taken me over, I think, what, a year, I think?
Maybe
just
2 years.
Yeah, maybe 1 or 2 years, just to get the labeling, the design work done, you know, and to get all, and then make it sort of like, you know, checked by the food regulators authorities to make sure that the labeling was correct and everything before we actually bottled it for the first time.
Yeah, he tried many times before we even attempted the chili sauce to run a business, and unfortunately, for whatever reason, it didn't work out. Be it a shop or be it a catering business, you know, you tried for 20 years, you know, 20, 25 years, spent a lot of money doing it, it didn't work out. And then for me, you know, I was growing up seeing this, you know, from a young age. I remember even at 10, no, younger than that, 8, 9 years old, going with my dad at 4 a.m. on a Saturday to some market to sell kebabs. And, you know, people like having a go at my dad because he's coming in and taking their territory and stuff like that. And then growing up in East London, though the council or the borough, I suppose, is quite a wealthy borough, you know, it's considered quite a poor borough,
mm-hmm.
you know, Newham. And I was born here, raised here. All my brothers were, you know, we were born and raised in Newham. And you're surrounded by a certain type of mindset. You're surrounded by a certain type of people. You know, you see things like crime, you see things like, you know, poverty, and you see, you know, even, you know, now growing up, you know, you see fried chicken shops everywhere,
mm-hmm.
for example. Whereas, like, I was really fortunate that our mother, like, she sent us to school outside of East London. It was not out of East London, but out of Manor Park.
Mm-hmm.
So I discovered a new set of friends. And then from there, at 16, I got a job in Kensington, in High Street Kensington. So this was the first time that I'd ventured out of East London,
mm-hmm.
16 years old. And I went to Kensington, and then you see kids your own age, and they're talking about they've been on skiing holidays, you know, there's no kind of money worries. They talk about their parents' businesses. They talk about, you know, cars and clothes and living very different ways to you. And so that kind of opened my eyes to realize that there's a different way of living.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just about going in and entering a job and staying there. You know, there's you are able to create your own future.
Yeah.
And that's when it opened my eyes. And I suppose it all kind of timed nicely that I was at that age where I really wanted to run with something, and Mr. Singh's kind of came along at the right time. Well, the opportunity to sell the chili sauce came along at the right time. And, you know, when that happened, everyone seemed to be available at the right time for it all to happen. And even then, you know, from November 2008 till now, it's 2014.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was all still evenings and weekends. I mean, we only went full time on the business last year, March 2013.
I think it's a humbling thought as well that people see the Mr. Singh's brand now going out on shelf, and we'll talk just now from Shed to Tesco's very shortly, but seeing it going out there, it is a long process, and you have to be patient and you have to seize those opportunities. And it seems, you know, your credit card going down there is the least of everything that's gone on before that.
Yeah. I mean, that's just like my action.
Yeah.
But obviously my dad did a lot before that, and you know, all actions lead to reactions, and you know, here we are today. And I think with the business and with Tesco's and everything else, you know, it's there's a lot more work that goes into making things happen and making things succeed than people always see on the outside, which is natural.
Yes.
But you know, it is about perseverance and belief in that one idea, and then running with it, really.
And I'll just say that you say that your credit card is one action, but it was inspired by belief in your dad and his vision and what he had out there, because you wouldn't put your credit card and put a bet for no bad reason.
Yeah, I mean, I really thought about why I did this, and you know, it was literally because, you know, all of us have done time, and I point to my brother and my other brother. We used to work as a waiter in his restaurant, and yeah, we all hated it, so we've done our time. And yeah, I suppose you're right, you know, that probably clarifies it, that it was because I used to see people just love his chili sauce and how much he loved chili, that I thought, you know, it's got to be something here. Let's give it a bet.
Let's talk about the thing that a lot of people want to know, is the shiny bit, which is from the Shed to the Tesco's. How did that come about? What does that journey look like?
For example, Tesco's is the latest conquest, shall I say. But before that, you know, we listed with Harvey Nichols, we listed with Selfridges, Ocado. There's a company in America called Fairway in New York who we listed with. And this was all before Tesco.
And what does listed mean?
Selling the product on shelf.
Okay.
So it's on their list of products, basically. Again, we talked of belief earlier. It's actually belief in yourself and belief in your product and understanding how you're going to have a conversation with someone.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, Tesco actually took us a year and a half of consistent... We were told no about four times beforehand, like by certain people, and... you just take a chance and you try again and you go back and you try and move yourself forward. And so when it finally happened, you kind of pounce on it, and we had to put a deadline on it. We, as in Mr. Singh, said, you know, I'm not going to go in there and leave it open-ended. I said to them that, look, you know, we've got only a couple of weeks to take a call on what we want to do. And I believe that we would get some time with them. And, you know, they're absolutely brilliant to work with. I can't praise them enough, regardless of what people say. They're brilliant working with us as a small business. And I do highly praise them, but they invited us in, gave us some time, gave us some guidance on what information they needed from us. And once we provided that, they were like, look, we're willing to give you a try, start off small. So we started in 16 stores this year, in February.
What kind of quantities are you talking about when you talk about small? Are you talking about 50 on a shelf or?
Yeah, well, 16 stores was what we started with.
Right.
So, it's nominal in terms of value, mm-hmm. financial value, but it means it's a foot in the door with the biggest retailer in the country.
Yeah.
So from then, I mean, I think today we've just done a final count. We're probably in about 108 stores now.
Congratulations.
And thank you. And next year, ideally, we'd like to go out to about 200, with the year after that to about 500. I mean, they've got 1,000 stores. And the challenge we have with them is making sure the product sells when it's on shelf, because though it may seem as though just getting the listing with them is the win, really that's point zero. That's just
the beginning.
That's just the beginning. But answering the question as to how it happens, you know, we're quite lucky we live in the age of the internet. Every single buyer of every single shop that you want to sell your product to is on the internet somewhere. Their email address, their phone number is out there. And it's down to you and your own persistence to get it. And if someone says no to you, it's just a word, it's just a no. You know, you have to find out why, and then you have to go back and try again and again and again.
People change.
Buyers change. Opinions change. Trends change. You may have to wait. You know, you as a person, an individual as a person changes.
And what is it like now that you're starting to work with them? What does that look like?
I think it's really, really good. It's really fun because we basically get a chance to speak with individual store managers and we get to build a relationship with them. And I think, to be honest with you, like my brother was saying, in terms of us being on the shelf, to me it's like the fun part I started, because we get to go in there every week to different Tesco stores and we do a lot of sampling, which means...
What does sampling mean?
So basically we get to... Basically, the customers that come through, they get to try the sauce, not just on a cracker, but they'll have either myself, my brother, my father, my other brother cooking.
So you still keep it very personal for
you
guys?
Yeah,
okay.
So, and we're cooking. We're literally just doing chickpeas marinated in our third product, which is the Punjabi pesto. And, you know, it's so fun because you get to meet so many different people, you know, and when people say to you, oh, like, are you... that behind the business, or have they just hired you? And he says to me, no, like, I help run the business. My dad's the one who's behind it. Like, oh my God, I did. But it's really, like, to me, it's like the fun part. Like, you're cooking. Like, we all have a passion of cooking. I think we get that from my father's side. And where people are trying the sauce and we get so much feedback. A lot of people, you know, debate whether the barbecue sauce is hotter than the original sauce, but the pesto, everyone loves.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, to me, like I said, it's like the fun part because we get to cook, meet everyone, build relationships with Tesco's. We get to sell our own product. And, you know, the more relationships we can build with Tesco's, and because the store managers themselves are brilliant to work with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't necessarily have to let us in, but, you know, they do. And it's brilliant for us and it's brilliant for them. We get to build a relationship with them guys, and it works really well as in business terms and in personal.
My name is Jaspreet Bambra, and I'm a lady that does a little bit of everything. So even though we're on a bigger platform and it's an opportunity for us to sell more units and more cases while doing the live demonstrations with the cooking and also going out doing tastings with just the sauce with crackers, is the concept of trying before you buy. And what that fundamentally means is that our taste of our products will always come through. It's not necessarily just our branding, but what Pop's first idea of making something tasty and fantastic to eat and want to eat more of it.
Mm-hmm.
So even though our platforms are getting bigger and bigger, we're still able to relate it back to the first fundamental thing that Pops wanted to create. and, you know, food bringing people together and the family coming together, and they're the ones that are selling it and talking to people, and it all kind of all joins together really, really well and brings our message forward as well.
We actually went out selling directly to stores, independent stores, not only in London, in the home counties like Essex and Kent and Cambridge and Oxford, to get distribution for our products, because rather than just waiting for a big supermarket listing to come along, we had to sell our products, and we had to have shops where people could go and buy them. So from a standing start of about 10 stores, I mean, we've got, I'd say 400 stores now, independent stores outside of Tesco, outside of Harvey Nicks and Selfridges and Boots and all the other big names that sell our products in London and in the home counties. And, you know, they are equally as important, if not more important, than the supermarkets, because these individual stores are owned by business owners. So you can go in and you're talking to the decision maker. You're talking to the person who is telling your story to their customers.
Mm-hmm.
Which is priceless. I mean, you can't buy that. You can't buy that.
That is the word of mouth that everyone so and when you, much desires.
But you have to go out there and get it. So that's, I mean, sorry, this is what we've done. We've gone out there and got it. Other people may have smarter ways, quicker ways, whatever it might be. This has been our method. And, you know, by going out, meeting these store owners, by meeting these individuals, yeah, they're wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people, because they're so busy. They give us the time of day to go in and speak with them, introduce our products. And we're really thankful for that. And it's only by getting those 400 stores that when we finally sat down with Tesco, they said, you know what, yeah, we'll give you a chance. Mm. Because they said, well, okay, if they're outselling in 400 stores, then they're doing something. Let's give them a chance. Let's start small and you start to build up.
Our listeners should understand that actually you do have to have still, even as large as Tesco's may be, the same kind of principles that you have within your brand, which is that personal touch resonate across. And and that is really good to see. And I think it will make your brand stronger as you go along, because regardless of whoever starts to sell it, as you expand, you know that that ethos will be the people that you will attract. So that's really great stuff. What has been the greatest joy throughout the journey?
Oh, I think for me, the greatest moment was when we were in the TV documentary.
Okay.
When Esther was saying, the world is your oyster, we will have you on board. That was the magic moment.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Fantastic. Anybody else?
Greatest moment
has
been, I get to work with my family pretty much. Not many people get to do that. And,
that's true.
And
get paid as well.
And get paid as well, yeah. And I think the best thing is, you know, with us, we keep business as business and family very separate.
That's beautiful.
And we kick each other all the time if someone's lacking or anything like that. We're always there for each other, and I think that helps a lot as well, because a lot of family businesses, they tend to let the emotional side get to them. With us, we're nothing like that. We're business is business, family's family.
That's an interview all on its own, I swear.
What about you, Prit? What's been your
I've only been here for 5 months. I've only recently got married and moved to London. But I mean, my husband is best friends with Rav, which is the middle brother essentially now with the family, and he actually was part of the journey too. He used to go around at the weekends and pick chilies while they're watching the football and when they were having sessions, and you know, so coincidentally when we first met was 5 years ago when they had their TV show. And my husband used to talk about them all the time. They are like a second family to him, and he's seen through him, I've been able to see how it's grown, and I've been part of the team not just for five months in London, but when I was living in the Midlands, I was also part of the team there doing sampling around the Midlands.
Right.
So I got to experience Mr. Sings in a different way, in a slightly independent way, but still felt the love that the family had and the love they gave to me as well, because they regard, you know, my husband as a brother too. But one thing I have to say is that I've thoroughly enjoyed in the last 5 months, because food marketing is very new to me, is all the maintenance that's needed and all the people you're meeting and everything that you need to learn along the way.
Yeah.
Like Cordeep said, you know, people may see a brand and be like, oh, well, you're in Tesco, so it's fine now. It's, you know, it's far from, and it's the day-to-day grind of what you need to do and who you need to chase and the invoices you need to fill. But this is all a great foundation.
Yeah.
For us getting bigger and bigger, and when we win more contracts with more people.
And what has been the greatest lesson?
For me, the greatest lesson has been solidifying belief in myself and clarifying my vision for what I want from Mr. Sings and what I want Mr. Sings to give. Because, you know, I for one and have been guilty of thinking too much, you know, procrastination and all the rest of it. You know, all the other personality traits that are out there that hold you back. I think the biggest lesson for me has been to do that, to solidify my thoughts and to have full belief in where we are and where we're going. You know, secondary to that, I would say, is the importance of perseverance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's been so many times, like we've nearly lost the business already about four times. You know, I remember 1 month coming back within a month of losing it. I didn't tell you guys this, but
trade secret people.
Yeah, you know, in a couple of Christmases in a row, just sitting at my desk by myself in tears, and because it's all just falling to pieces, and looking back, realizing why all of that was happening was because, you know, my vision wasn't clear enough, my planning wasn't clear enough, and belief wasn't clear enough. So that's hugely important.
Every new step we take in with Mr. Sings, like, you have to start again. And I think the best thing about that is you get to learn a lot more. Because, you know, like people are saying, people think because you're in Tesco, you've made it. It's not the case at all. You get the independent customers. We didn't have them before.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to start again.
Every
new step, you have to start again and make a new system work for that particular thing. And I think the best thing, like I said, about that is you get to learn something about that particular thing, and it brings out the best in you regardless, because you've got two choices: you fold or you carry on going.
Yeah,
you're forever learning new. Just going off what Suki just said, every individual customer you speak to are different, and you have to cater to that, and it's making you a stronger person. And linking with what Cordy said, it's about the belief you have in your brand and working with them and putting your point across. But every day, I always believe that, you know, I always say that every day is a new day and you always learn something new. And it has been the case.
Yeah.
There's so many different layers of business out there that, you know, you have to be like a superhuman person to know every single layer all at once.
Yeah.
And we might be learning over the next 20, 30 years with technology and how it's going. Who knows what's in our power?
I think for me personally, I think I've just got one very simple philosophy: never give up.
Yeah.
Just never give up.
We're coming towards the end of the interview, listener, but what I'd say is I had a question about what you say to encourage, ask the family what you say to encourage people to move forward, but they've answered that: belief, vision, have a focus, stop procrastinating. And if you're not listening, it's because you don't want to hear. This family is amazing. They're doing something so great. I'm looking at their sources right now, and it will soar. It really will. So my last question that I hope you all will take on board is, what's your hope and dreams for the brand of Mr. Sing, Papa Sing?
Well, I think, you know, like we started off with the same dream was to take it to the point where it becomes a global brand and is there forever and forever for my generations to come, basically. That's what our dream is, that's what we are going to establish. I just wanted to say something very important was, you know, like, whoever is listening and whoever is actually trying to introduce a product into the market or whatever, I know we are all passionate about what we do and what we create, and we think, wow, this is really amazing and good. Be absolutely perfectly sure that, you know, that your product you're trying to bring into market is something which people will like. Because if the quality or the taste or is not there, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
It's like with our product, I'm not trying to boast around it now, but people, when they taste it, I don't have to say anything. Or even if somebody else is standing there sampling for us, at that time, the taste is what is selling, not me, not the brand. So it's very important that, you know, I know people say, oh, you know, my uncle says, my family says, that is fine, that is good, but will somebody pay whatever asking price you're asking them, will somebody pay that for what you have created? Because if not, then it might not be a right direction for you to go. because it really, really important is the quality of the product you have made. Make sure this is something which will sell it, and people are saying it and they're paying you the money for it.
I just had a thought about what we want from the business, and yeah, you know, what my father and brother said is correct. You know, we're trying to build a legacy here that we can leave for generations, and for it to become a heritage brand. For me, I want Mr. Singh's to be a part of life's moments. I want it to be, you know, when you're coming home from work with your evening meal, and there's a bottle of Mr. Singh's on the table, you pour it on the side of your plate. Not because you bought it, but because it's Mr. Singh's, but because it's a part of those moments in life. You know, whether you're a family, you're cooking a meal together, you use one of our products, and it's been there for that moment. You know, whether you're a group of friends getting together for a big Sunday lunch or whatever it might be, and you're using one of our products, we want to be there for that moment. It's not about money, it's not about anything about else, it's about creating very, very human moments that everyone can relate to, and I would love for, and we will be, I mean, I think we are there now, and we're growing it, but for it to grow even bigger, for our products to be a part of those life moments, and to continue like long into the future, and that's what we're trying to build.
We got Mr. Singh's barbecue chili sauce, you've got the Punjabi pesto sauce, and you've got the hot Punjabi chili sauce.
Do you know the story behind that, the pesto?
Yeah, actually I do, because I did see it being used in, I think, Mama Singh's
prayers. Yeah, so in Punjabi, it's actually called Turka.
Okay.
Whereas if you try and market it with that word, perhaps it's not the best word to use. So we call it Punjabi pesto because it's actually mashed up ingredients. From what I understand, I could be wrong, but that's what pesto means, like mashed up. So the idea with it is onions which are slow cooked from white to chocolate brown. Tomatoes which are cooked and reduced to create a very concentrated sweetness, garlic, ginger, some herbs, some spices and some salt, and a touch of chili. And this is actually a centuries old foundation or a base to any kind of Punjabi cuisine.
Right.
The challenge with it is that if you want to make it properly and make it delicious, it will take at least half an hour to an hour, maybe an hour and a half, depending on how many people you're making it for. Because the onions are cooked so slowly. So it took us about 2.5 years to get my mother's recipe into a jar. And what we have here is basically a product that's as close, I think 99% close to what you know, my mom makes at home,
mm-hmm.
In a jar. And the idea behind it is that you put it into a pot, add your meat or your vegetables, a bit of water, and cook it for 20 minutes, and it's a meal for 4 people. Or you use it as a dip, as a spread, as a marinade on whatever it is that you're making. Sandwiches, as many of our customers use it. And that's what the Punjabi pesto is, and where it came from.
And also as well, a lot of our customers that we have already, they use it as a pesto.
Yes.
So that's
it's good in pasta.
So it really helped us with the name as well, and because it kind of had a ring to it, a lot of people related to it. Like numerous times when I've been doing sampling in Tesco, people are like, "Oh, that looks interesting. I've never heard of a Punjabi pesto before." And
people are getting into pestos and
exactly,
and
like, yeah. You know, we're cooking something so simple like chickpeas,
mm-hmm.
and just adding the pesto in and letting it cook, and the amount of people that say you've just turned chickpeas around, like
the smell, let alone when you tried it, whether you have it cold, whether you have it hot, it's the automatic taste that you have, or what is familiar to an Indian curry, to whatever your taste buds may like in a restaurant.
Yeah,
this will give you, I mean, even for myself, I mean, I'm obsessed with it, like and we have it a lot at home, and it's I can guarantee, like, up to about 95% of people, as soon as they taste it, it's familiar.
Yes.
And the fact that it's all natural, no preservatives, you know, it makes it even better because people are thinking, wow, you've got all
British made as well.
And it's like, all British made.
We insist on everything being made here.
That is brilliant. So how can people get in touch with you guys, apart from going to Tesco's?
They can contact us via our website, which is www.mrsingssauce.co.uk, double S in the middle, or Facebook and Twitter. The Twitter handle and Facebook handle is Mr. Singh Sauce. So MrSinghSSauce.
Okay, and we'll have them linked on to East London Radio Station, so you can find them easily there as well. So I want to thank you guys so much
for coming in
and welcoming me so much. It was brilliant, one of the best interviews ever. And may you guys go on to continued success.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Can I just say one final thing?
Yeah.
To anyone who is listening, and you have a business, or you're thinking of starting a business, or you're thinking of trying something new and exciting, I'm quite sure I speak for everyone when I say we genuinely wish you all the best, and we really hope and pray your dreams come true, because everyone deserves